notice this, something about these verses leaped out at me this week, Brother John, in studying this passage that of all the years that I've preached out of the life of Lot and his family, I've never noticed before. Isn't it a blessing how the Holy Ghost will do that? Direct you to something that you've seen 1,000 times and yet you've never seen it like that before. You knew that it was there and somehow or another it never held significance to you until then. See, that's what God does. The Word of God is but words and printed words on a page until the Holy Spirit makes it bread for your soul. You see, He gives you the capacity to digest this Word of God and then put it into action in your life. All right, Genesis 19, verse 12, the Word of the Lord says, The men said unto Lot, Hast thou here any besides, son-in-law, thy sons, thy daughters, and whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place? For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxing great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. And when the angels arose, the angels hastened to Lot, saying, Awake, or arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city. And while he lingered, the men lay hold upon his hand, and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters. And the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth, and set him without the city. Came to pass when they had brought him abroad that he said, Escape for thy life, and look not behind thee, neither stay thou at all in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And Lot said unto them, Oh, not so, my Lord. Behold now, thy servant found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me and I die. Behold now, this city is near to flee unto, and it's a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee according to this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou be come thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and the inhabitants of the cities that which grew upon the earth or upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. You can be seated. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. I've often thought about this gentleman by the name of Lot and his family, who were endowed with the great privilege of having seen one of the most amazing men of faith to have ever lived in the person of Abraham. They watched God's blessings on Abraham's life, and they even experienced the overflow of those same blessings as both the flocks of Abraham and of Lot increased greatly, making both men so wealthy that they couldn't even bear to live in the same area because of the argument over the flocks and over the herds and the herdsmen that were arguing between them as to what herds belonged to who. Yet it seemed like it was not enough for Mr. and Mrs. Lot to have seen these things and to have experienced the power of God. He and Abraham parted ways with Lot taking the well-watered plains of Sodom for his home. He pitched his tent towards Sodom, the Scripture says, and slowly took his family into a place that was under the judgment of God. Now, there's a lot of sermons I could preach about Lot this afternoon, and I thought about a number of them, and I may even come back at a later time and give you a series on the life of Lot. I doubt it would be a greater blessing to you as what the series on Windows was, because every sermon, it seems, on the life of Lot would be a sermon on sin and judgment. But I looked at the life of Lot and noticed so much of what happened with him. In Genesis 13 and 10, the Bible says that Lot looked. He lifted up his eyes, the Scripture says. Oh, we could preach about the right way to look and what are you looking at. And then in Genesis 13 and 10, we find that Lot longed.
all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. Why, that ought to have told Lot to stay away from it. Anything that's like Egypt, you better stay away from it. It is the likeness of the world. In verse 11 of Genesis 13, Lot lusted. Lot chose him, the Bible said, all the plain of Jordan. He lusted after the things that was around him and leaned toward Jordan and the plains down toward Sodom. And then in Genesis 13, 11, Lot left. Lot journeyed east and they separated themselves one from the other. In verse 12, the Bible said, Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent toward Sodom. And then in Genesis 13 and 13, Lot listened. Oh, what a sermon there is. And what Lot listened to. In verse 13, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. 2 Peter 2, 7 and 8 said that he vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked. For that righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Lot listened. And then I thought about how that Lot lost everything. He lost everything. He lost his wealth. He lost his character. He lost his family. He lost his children. He lost his good name. And then in our text tonight, in verse number 16, we find that Lot lingered. It says, and while he lingered, the men lay hold on him. I'm going to come back to that in a moment. And then we find, if you'll follow him down past our text this evening, we find that Lot lay with his own daughters. In a drunken stupor, he lay with his own daughters. And then we find finally that Lot is listed in our Bibles as a man who knew the right way, had a righteous soul, and still died an utter failure with his family in shambles. What a shame it is, the story of this man Lot, who had seemingly everything going for him and started out right and ended up wrong, was raised right and died wrong. Had the benefit, my friend, of seeing the move of God in the life of Abraham. That, my friend, you can't live like Lot and be blessed like Abraham. You can't rebel against God and be blessed like Abraham was. And this man Lot found himself listed as an utter failure when his life was all done. And his children that were born into him by the result of incest served as a thorn in the side of the children of Israel all of their days. Amen. I'm telling you, Moab and Ammon, my friend, every time that Israel went to battle, they were enemies of the people of God. I want to tell you, friend, the seed of evil doing and rebellion is always, my friend, at enmity with the Lord. Amen. Each of these things are sermons alone. But I'm particularly interested tonight in verse 16 of our text where it said, while he lingered, I want to preach that the Lord will help me tonight on why Lot lingered. I'm telling you, that verse just leaped out at me while I was studying some this week, and how, hey, Lot was not one that denied, or my friend was unbelief at the word of the Lord. He did believe that judgment was coming. He did believe, my friend, that fire and brimstone was going to fall on Sodom. And yet for some reason he lingered. And for some reason he didn't want to leave. And for some reason he would not depart that evil place where he was. I want to tell you, he was not ignorant of the truth. He was not unbelieving of the truth. He did not doubt the truth. But he would not obey the truth. He is where most people are living in this society around us today. It's not that they don't know. It's not that they've not heard. It's not even that they don't have an intellectual consent unto the truth. But rather they are lingering. They are remaining in their sin and refusing to leave. The hand of grace and mercy of my friend has laid hold upon them.
And the Lord, the Bible said, being merciful to him, they're bringing him out. And they're taking him and leading him out of that city. Yet so many, my friend, with a stiff neck, are rebelling against God and rebelling against the truth and lingering in their sins. My Lord, have mercy. We're in a mess today because of people lingering. Lingering, lingering, lingering. I hope you'll hear what I'm preaching here tonight and pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you this evening. I want to preach tonight on why Lot lingered. I'll submit to you the reason why he lingered in Sodom was the same reasons he left for Sodom. Amen. He was warned. He believed the warning, but he still lingered. You know what Lot thought? Yes, the Lord's going to send judgment, but I've got time to take care of some things. Yes, the Lord's going to send judgment, but I've got time to do some things. I'm going to hang around as long as what I can before He sends judgment. Yes, He's going to judge the city, but it'll not be now. Yes, He's going to judge the city, but it'll not be today. Would you hear me? If I was to ask tonight how many people believe that Jesus is coming back, most everybody in the house, if He was on, would raise your hand, and you do believe it. But then if I was to ask you if you believe He's coming back tonight, you'd say, well, now I don't know about that. And well, friend, we believe He's coming back, but through our lifestyles it shows we don't believe He's coming back tonight. We don't believe He's coming back now. We don't believe He's going to deal with sin imminently. And may I say, 2,000 years ago He said, behold, I come quickly. Hey. And Waylon Golden used to say, if it is quickly then, it's quicklier now. Amen. I want to tell you, the Lord's a-coming. And He'll not announce it. He'll not give you any more warning. The men of God's preaching the warning. Get out of Sodom. Don't linger any longer.
Don't linger any longer. Heed the word of God. You've been warned, my friend. Get out while you got a chance to get out. He knew God was sending judgment, but He didn't see the urgency of it. He seemed not to believe that judgment was coming imminently. Lot lingered. So let me tell you why he lingered this evening. I'll quit. Can't preach too long. I'm already wore out. Hey. And it probably ain't near as hot as it feels like it is, but brother, it feels like it is. And I had to wear a colored shirt tonight. You fellows wonder why I always wear white shirts when I'm preaching. White shirts don't show up sweat spots. Amen. And this is why I'm preaching tonight. As best the Lord will help me on why Lot lingered. I want to say, first of all, Lot lingered because of a love for pleasure. In Genesis chapter 13, Lot not only left Abraham and pitched his tent towards Sodom, but he dwelled in the cities of the land. And in verse number 12, hear me, I've heard preachers preach all my life. He started towards Sodom, and he did. But he didn't inch towards Sodom. He went ahead and went right into the city to start with. You see, he had a love for pleasure. The bright lights and the flashy signs had caught his eye. And the word of God said, he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with silver. He that loveth gold shall not be satisfied with increase. The man who loves pleasure, I shall not be rich, so the scripture says. Hear me now. Lot was in love with the city. He was in love with entertainment. He was enamored by the bright lights and the big city and the flashy signs. I want to tell you, the devil paints a pretty picture, and it catches the eyes of men, and lust is brought up inside of them, and when lust is conceived, it brings more sin, and sin when it is finished, it brings of course death. I want to tell you, friend, he lingered because of his love for pleasure.
Lot is so much like the men of our generation who, my friend, are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Amen. That's right. That's why that the boat docks are packed and you can't hardly find a place on the Sundays, that the church pews are not full. Amen. Well, that's why, my friend, that deer hunters are shooting at one another and missing the deers. And yet the house of God is half empty on the Sundays. That's
why you got to call early to get a tea time on a Sunday, but not the house of God. Folks do good to get in here on time because men are lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. I'd love to have a righteous soul, but many folks that the Lord has been gracious and redeemed them from sin and taught them the right way, they've rebelled against God, against the truth. And my friend, they're lingering in their love for Sodom. They're lingering in their love for pleasure. And judgment surely coming. And they're going to die unprepared.
They're going to die unprepared. A love for pleasure. Well, let me just preach quickly tonight. He lingered because of a love for pleasure. Secondly, he lingered because of a lust for possessions. A lust for possessions. I mean, Lot saw the prosperity of the city. He had tasted the sweet wine of success and wanted more. Amen. The ground there was fertile and the opportunities were many. He sought after a dollar with no thought given to the impact on his family. Hear me, friend. There are many who, my friend, have taken a career course of sorts without concern for their character and without concern for their families, without concern for the well-being of their families. Oh, I'm not trying to be critical tonight, but I am trying to be honest in preaching to you. I want to tell you this. I would never take a job that moved me from my church without I was absolutely certain from God that the Lord had prepared a place, a specific place for me to worship at that location. I'm telling you, it ain't everywhere where you can find the anointing and touch and help of God. Hear me, friend, in this dry and barren desert land. You can say, well, these mountains are not good for growing cattle, like old Lot said. But you can take your family to Sodom, and your cattle can multiply, and you can watch your children die. Which one matters more? The cattle, my friend, or your babies? The dollar or your children? Hear me, friend. So many want to run into high and up and in circles and be in society's elite. But I tell you, I'd rather my youngins see the power of God come down on my life. I want them to see Daddy preach on the unction of the Holy Ghost. I want to know the joy of God moving in our home. I want to tell you, I'd rather drive a beat up car and listen, friend, live in a trailer all of my life. And God broke as a convict. And my youngins know God has to be a king owning a vast domain. And all of our kids go to hell. I want to tell you, friend, he lived to Sodom because he lusted after possessions. And he lingered in Sodom because he lusted after possessions. And he lost out in Sodom because he lusted after possessions.
Amen. The love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, the love of money. Amen. I would to God somebody in here would get some money. And when you get it, give it. Amen. Oh, that's right. Hey. Got a little box here for fellowship, Paul. Hey. I would to God somebody would get some money. When you get it, give it. Amen. I'm not against money. Comes in pretty handy while you're here. Don't mean much when you get to heaven, but helps you while you're here. That's my friend, helps to buy groceries while you're here. But the love of money, the devotion of money, the lust after things in this life. The Bible said in Mark 4:19, Jesus said, and the care of the deceitfulness of riches, and the things of this world, the cares of this world, and other things entering in, chokes the word and it becomes unfruitful. I want to tell you, folks are so tangled up in getting stuff and things and earning another dollar that they've forgotten about God. And our youngins are wearing new tennis shoes, but they're wearing them all the way to hell because we've not focused on what matters in life.
Lust for possessions. Are you hearing me preach? I'm preaching with all of God, so I'm hoping you're hearing me preach tonight. Amen. I told
I'm feeling like it tonight. I was told when I was 13-year-old, had started preached like I preached tonight. As best I could them days, my voice would go out in just a few minutes. Some of you wish for that, don't you? And my voice would go out in just a few minutes. And I was told, you keep preaching like that, you won't ever live to be 30. Well, I'm 31 tonight, so I'm doing pretty good. Amen. But I may not live to be 40. But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to preach while I'm here, that lust for possessions is destroying this country. I don't know what kind of God all Americans has got, but I know most of them's green. Amen. Most of them's in love with money. Most of them's in love with stuff. But I want to tell you, friend, our children's going to hell. And it's time we focused on that again.
Love for pleasure, lust for possession. Why Lot lingered? He lingered because of loose parenting. He lingered because of loose parenting. Hear me, friend. Something happened to Lot as a parent in Sodom. I mean, as a mom and a dad, Mr. and Mrs. Lot down in Sodom. Pop, mom and Papa Lot down there in the land of Sodom with two or three baby Lots. Amen. And they got a lot down there to lose in Sodom. Amen. The Lot families are losing a lot down in the land of Sodom. He got so loose. Listen to me. He used to walk with Abraham and hear Abraham pray and talk with God. He watched Abraham and Sarah sit in the tent and obey God and watch their faithfulness and saw the blessings of God on their life. And yet something happened to Lot when he got into Sodom. He became a loose parent. He became unconcerned about his children's life. He got so loose that his daughters married men. My friend, unto who? These men were unbelievers. In verse 14, when he went to them and said, get out of this place. And the Bible said he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-laws. They would not believe. And it's quite possible that the men they married were perverts. In the verse number 8 of our chapter, the perverted men of this city come to the home of Lot and said, send out those two men. The angels has come to you this night that we may know them. And they didn't want to play cards with them, buddy. Hey. And the Lot looked out the window and he said, I'll not send these men out. But instead, he went to the window or to the door and he said, wait a minute, fellas. I've got a couple of daughters here and they've never even known a man. I don't know if these are the same two daughters that is married to these son-in-laws or not. But if they were, they've been married to men that are absolutely disinterested in them. They're so perverted, their mindset's so warped that they're absolutely disinterested in their own wives. And long, brother, that's a strange place. I believe that's plain enough where grown-ups can understand what I'm preaching about. We're living in that perverse society today where men's hearts and minds are warped and they lust after their own flesh. I tell you, it's twisted and sick. It was sickified and putrefied and filthy in the days of Lot, and it still is. Amen, that's right. And Lot was the kind of fellow that gone so far, he let his daughters marry men like that.
It was certain that Lot was gone so far that he was willing to give his daughters to these men to do with them whatever they desired. In verse 8 he said, I've got two daughters that's never known a man. Take you them and do what you will with them. He was ready to throw his daughters out to the perverts. I want to tell you, there's something bad wrong with a twisted parent that doesn't care what kind of perverted people gets a hold of their children. Amen. Would you hear what I'm preaching tonight? And yet they're all over this land. You let your children get up exposed, my friend, and tuned in with punk rock. And to my friend with HBO and everything else out of Hollywood. And the pop culture, hear me. And to these perverted singers. That's all a bunch of homosexuals. And the God deniers and God haters and atheists and Satanists. And you think everything's all right. And you say, oh, it's just entertainment. Yeah, that's why Lot was inside him. The stone with was entertainment. And he died, my friend. An absolute failure when it came to his children.
When I was a teenager, it was Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses, Kiss, and all the rest of those God haters. I don't know where all of them are now. Heard a fellow the other day say something about some fellow named Korn. A man always thought that was something you put in the casserole.
but something about some fellow named Corn or all this kind. Hey, I'm going to tell you, that's mixed up business. I mean, it always has been. You're a pervert listening to that kind of mess. Messing your mind up, twisting your mind, warping your sense of perception. Don't have a clue what's right and wrong, up and down. I mean, you'll grow up to call good evil and evil good. You'll get your mind so twisted and so warped. Somebody said, I just like the beat. I know you do. Because that beat moves your flesh. Because that beat motivates your flesh. Because you got a seed of rebellion in your heart. And if your family would get out of Sodom, friend, and get rid of that Sodomite music out of your hands. Amen, that's right. Oh, yes. But you know why Mom and Dad ain't going to say nothing about Corn and all the rest of them perverts singing their babies, don't you? Because they're watching Will and Grace and the other perverts on the television. Amen. And Mama likes to watch Rosie O'Donnell and the other lesbians on the TV shows in the daytime. That her mind's warped by perverts, and she can't say anything to her children about the perversion they're operating in. Oh, yes, that's right. St. Persian, try to hear me preach like this. And he said, you're going to bust your jug. Well, I reckon I done busted her tonight. But I'm going to tell you, we're living under a day of perversion and wickedness. And from the prophets even unto the priests, everyone dealeth falsely. And my people love to have it so. Were they ashamed when they committed abomination? Nay, they were not at all ashamed. Neither did they blush. Mom and Dad, would you grow up? Quit being a child yourself. Come a parent in your house. Tear down the posters. Burn up the CDs. Take charge in your home. Rear your children for God. And if you won't, don't expect me to visit them in prison every time when they get grown. You are inviting illegitimacy into your home. You are inviting perversion into your home. You are inviting pornography into your home when you allow your children to listen to the perverts sing their songs.
Amen. Oh, that's right. I know it's right. I know it don't go over any today. I know that. But I know it's right. Amen. I know it is. Hear me now. Friend, I'm telling you, we're living in a day much like that of Sodom and Gomorrah. Amen. Oh, my God, help us. And Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of the Son of Man. Men will be eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage. And they were so until the day that Noah entered in the ark, as it was in the days of Lot. So shall it be in that day also. He said that men will be rising and eating and drinking. But he didn't say anything about marrying and giving in marriage. Because we're living in a time where living together will do. Where sacking up will do. Where common law marriage will do. But I want to tell you, friend, these sins of perversion that are so prevalent in our day are crying out in the nostrils of God and calling for judgment. Would you hear me preach? My wife told me yesterday, she said, it's been a while since you preached a meeting. And so maybe she'll stay off my case after tonight. Oh, my Lord, help us. My Lord, help us. Hey. I'm just glad that I'm married to the kind of woman that don't bellyache when I do preach one like this. Amen. Instead, when I don't, she says, look like you'd preach against something now and again. Amen. And add me on something. Thank God. I like it. Hey, I know fellas, their wife's favorite preacher is Joel Osteen. My wife would tell everybody her favorite preacher is James Saver. But if you can handle that, you can handle anything. Amen. Some of you know Brother Saver. He'll sell a sub the corn. Thank God. Lord was so wrapped up in that his children had gotten, my friend, engrossed in the city of Sodom. I can just see him standing there and saying, well, let them ride one more ride. Let them go to one more party. We'll leave in the morning. I want to tell you, friend, you're waiting till tomorrow to deal with this stuff. You're waiting till the next day to deal with it. You're hoping it's a fad they're going through. I'll tell you what you better do. You better lay hands on them young'uns if you'll have mercy on them. And get them out of the land of Sodom. If not, you'll never get Sodom out of them.
Even when Lot got his daughters out of Sodom, he never got Sodom out of his daughters, did he? They brought a bottle of liquor out with them. Amen. At the end of the chapter, you'll find they're getting daddy drunk and committing incest with him up in the mountains, my friend. He got them out of Sodom, but he never got Sodom out of them. He never got Sodom out of them. Loose parenting. That's why Lot lingered. He said, well, they don't want to leave right now, so we'll hang around a little bit longer. Oh, my Lord. I remember when I was a kid, I'd be out, had my mom taught school, and after school, a couple of the other teachers' kids and I'd be out there playing ball and or chasing my friend after frogs or catching lizards and cutting them up, whatever you know that boys does. Hey, man, seeing who we could cut open. We'd throw rocks at one another, see who could hit the other one the most. I mean, you know, just doing stuff that boys does. And if one of us was to have cried, we'd have whooped the fire out of him. Hey, man. I mean, it wouldn't have done. It'd been all right to get hit. But don't you get hurt. I mean, if you get hurt, that means you're the big sissy and we're going to fix you up. Hey, man. I mean, we'd have beat the tar out of him. But we'd throw rocks and stuff at one another, just having fun. You know, boys are having a good time. And hear me, Mom would come out the door and she'd holler, come on, son, it's time to go. I knew what that meant. That meant it was time to go. And the one of them would say, whispers, can we just hit one more pitch? Can we just catch one more frog? Can I, just a minute, Miss Powers. I told him, boy, you do what you want to. Mom said it's time to go. But yeah, I mean, if his mama said it's time to go, you better go. And the brother, I'd go. Them other fellows, their mama would say, well, just one more. My mama said, you better get yourself over here. I'm going to wear you out and you won't be able to throw one more pitch. Amen. Hear me. I can see old Lot down there in Sodom and them girls saying, Daddy, can't we just go to one more party? Can't we stay just one more night? Can't we hang around just a little bit longer? Well, just a little bit, honey. You know, there is fire about to fall from heaven, but we'll stay just a little bit. I want to tell you, better get your young'uns out of Sodom. You better get them out of that city. The fire's about to fall. You better kill them out while there's a chance to. Amen. My Lord, help us. Loose parenting caused him to linger. Why'd Lot linger? Love for pleasure, lust for possessions. Loose parenting. A longing for position. Lot lingered because of a longing for position. All these L's and P's about to get me tongue-tied. Amen. Oh, that's right. Amen. Hey. Oh, my Lord, hit me. And hear me right. He was longing for position. He was longing for position. Lot was one of them kind of fellows liked to sit on the city council. He was one of them old boys that liked to fit in. I mean, if everybody else had a Mercedes, Lot wanted a Mercedes. Amen. Can't you just see him out there with silver spokes in the wheels of his chariot? The fanciest horse in town. Riding up and down the streets. Amen. That's right. Wearing an Armani robe. I mean, he's got it going on, buddy. He's a shopping at the nicest stores. Owning the nicest stuff. Got the best there is to offer. He's head over heels in debt. He's got more MasterCard bills than he'll ever find his way out of. I'm going to tell you, hey, Lot was one of them guys that liked to sit on the city council. We find that to be true. For in verse 1 of our chapter, when the two angels came, Lot, the Bible said, was sat in the gate of Sodom. Now, sitting in the gate was a position of leadership. He was on the city council of sorts. He lingered in Sodom because he longed for that position. He liked that authority. He longed for that acceptance. I want to tell you, many people are on the brink of judgment because they sold out everything in life in order to be accepted and in order to be promoted and in order to be popular. And they'll drink the occasional social drink in order to fit in down the job site. And they'll get drunk at the Christmas party because everybody else is. But I want to tell you, them folks is living in Sodom. And the judgment of God is hanging over their heads. They better quit lingering and get out of there. Now you hear me. I'm not. And I'm not criticizing this. Nor do I think it's a bad thing. But I'm not as many pastors who are even in our area, though I admire them for for going full time and pastoring the churches and not working public work, living by faith, God providing their needs, and the church taking care of them, and them serving the church. I think that's great. It's just not where the Lord's putting me. And there may come that time. And when He does, I want to be obedient in it. But until then, I want to be obedient to keep the commandment that said, 6 days shalt thou work, and on the seventh is rest to the Lord. Amen. And I'm not telling you this to be a smart aleck or to think you think I'm somebody greater than any other preacher that's full time. Man, some of the greatest men of God that I know and the ones that I respect, the preachers I get in to preach revivals for us, are men that are full time in the ministry. And I work hard and give them my own monies to try to support them and keep them on the road. And I want to do that and want to be a blessing to them. Amen. That's right. But I say that to say I work in the same heathen world that you work in. I work among the same sinners that you work amongst. I work among the same kind of lost folks that you deal with. I sit around the table when the management meetings come along, and now they put me in management. Thankful for my position. Don't complain a bit. Thankful that the Lord's blessed us. And financially, it's a good position. I'm thankful for that. Thank God for the roof over our head, shoes on our feet, and food on the table. But I sit around at those positions and at those meetings and watch them as they pour the wine one for the other and pass it around the table. And hear me, listen. These waiters and waitresses don't know me from Adam. They don't know that I'm a man of God. They don't know that I don't drink that stuff. I don't know how many times just a few weeks ago on a conference that I went that I got asked more times probably in 1 week if I wanted a drink than what I have in my whole life put together. Fellas coming around just doing their job. They weren't trying to be disrespectful or ugly, and I was not disrespectful back to them. There was no cause for that. But they asked me, do you want a drink? No, sir, wouldn't care for any. You can have this glass back. Thank you. I mean, try to be cordial and try to be nice. But hear me, so many of those fellas have sat around our table. I know them, and they don't drink regular. They almost never drink. Matter of fact, it showed up on them when they went to drinking. But they were drinking just for the sake of being accepted by everybody else in the crowd. I want to tell you, corporate America and my friend, the forces on the workforce and the pressure, my friend, of our society and the people around us are constantly beating into us and beating against our young people when they're trying to go into a professional rank. I tell you, better raise them in the mountain of Abraham or walking near unto God. If you don't walk near him and end up in Sodom and die, my friend, it's okay. You better keep them out of that mess. You better teach them that walking with God's more important than a pocket full of money. Teach them that walking with God's more important than being accepted. You better teach them that walking with God's more important than being one of the guys. Listen, they ain't a parent in this place in their right mind that don't want their kids to be liked. If you don't care about your children being liked, you'd just assume everybody hates your kids. You're either a twisted individual or you're a liar telling me that. I mean, that's true, ain't it? I mean, there's either something really bad wrong with you or you're lying saying that you don't want people to like your kids. I want people to like my kids. I want everybody to be good. By the way, while I'm on that, let me hit this and then I'll move on. There's a reason why that I don't discipline my children in public among the church. Now, I ain't got nothing wrong with public discipline, and there's a time to even embarrass them. But as the pastor of the church, I do not discipline my children in public. You won't see me do that. Not one member of this church will see me do that. If I need to do that, I'll take them to the back. I'll take them behind the church. I'll take them out to the car. I'll take them home. I'll do something. I will not do that in public and make a spectacle of them in front of everybody. And there's a reason for that, particularly being the pastor of the church. Those kids got a hard enough time as it is. Everybody in the church on their case all the time. Why, the preacher's kids are supposed to measure up. They're supposed to always be just right. Have you forgotten there's born of the same dirt in their system is what your youngins has got? Hadn't got meanness in them just like your kids has got. And it don't mean they're bad kids. And it don't mean that, my friend, we're bad parents. It just means we're just like everybody else and human too. But instead of chewing them out in front of everybody, if you see something from our youngins that you don't like, and chances are I'm dealing with it. But it ain't for you to know about. When the Lord wants you to take care of it, He'll kill me off and give them to you.
Amen. Oh, that's right. But I do have a responsibility. And so do you, by the way. To get your own youngins away from things. And my friend Alpha Man in the circle of wanting to be accepted all the time. And teach him it's more important to be right with God and to live godly and to live separated than what it is to be accepted. That's right. That's right. I want my little girls to be well loved. I want my little girls to be pretty. That means a lot to me. Brother Matthew, you don't want your little girls to be ugly. You want to be well liked. You want them to do well. Hey, you wouldn't spend all this time and money trying to get that little girl's eyes straightened out if you didn't care. Ain't that right? Hold her in your arms while she cries about her head hurting and her eyes are hurting and all this stuff. I wouldn't go through paying for all these surgeries and all this other stuff on my little girl's mouth and all that's been messed up. Both of them's had to go through it if I didn't care about all that. But listen, if everybody in the world thinks it makes them look ridiculous to walk around with them pretty little dresses on, and if everybody in the world says you're crazy trying to teach them to dress like that and do like that, and if everybody on earth thinks I'm nuts because they don't know the latest song from all the perverted women on here, and from Hollywood and to Christina Aguilera and Britney Spears and all the rest of them lesbian perverts, if everybody thinks I'm crazy because they don't watch Lizzie McGuire and all the rest of them perverted singers and all that slop on the TV, if everybody thinks it's over the top and thinks it's going too far, I'd rather see my little girls tell me, Teddy, I sure do love you and I sure do love Jesus, and I'm glad you're my daddy and you're a good preacher. I'd rather hear that than to have your approval or the world's approval. Most of all, I'm looking for the day when they'll say, Daddy, I got it. He come in my heart. I know I'm saved. I tell them that matters to me more than the stuff of this world and the approval of society.
Amen.
Amen. You keep them in that private school, preacher, they'll grow up warped in their mind. I know they will. That's why I'm so messed up, I guess. Started out in K-5, finished up in 12th grade, never did know anything but Christian school. Amen. Memorizing Scripture, reading the Bible. It's amazing how, Brother Jeff, you learn to read the Bible. You can read anything. Amen. That's exactly right. Thank God. Wasn't storybooks and NIVs and living Bibles. Just a good old King James Version, memorizing Scriptures, learning the times tables. Amen. Ten and repeating and all that stuff. Learning my friend the old-fashioned way. The blue back speller and such. Somebody said, you kids will be crazy. Well, back when all of America did that, we didn't have the crime rate we got now. We didn't have illegitimacy like we got now. We didn't have divorce like we got now. When America left that stuff, she went to Sodom in a hurry. I want to tell you, my children are not going to Sodom.
Amen. Amen.
They don't never know how to adjust when they get out in the lost world, they say. I don't want them to. I want them living for God. I don't want them fit men. Amen. That's right. I like it. Little Katie don't even want to wear pajama pants. Ain't that a blessing? Thank God. No, Mama. I want a nightgown. Amen. Well, I'm telling you, hey, Sonia said, what are we going to do? It's going to get cold. I said, wrap her in a blanket, thank God. Amen, that's right. Put that girl on a nightgown if she wants a nightgown on. Amen, that's right. Hey, I'm not ashamed to raise my babies like that. You do with it what you will. You raise yours like you want to. I'm preaching to you, testifying to you, trying to glorify God to you. But I'm going to raise my babies for God. And I'm going to teach them it's more important for them to be right with God than to fit in with society. I don't want them being like Lot, in love with a position. That's right. That's right. Amen. Don't have them, but if I had them, I wouldn't want my little boys thinking that to my friend, unless they had on short breeches, that they just wasn't going to make it. Amen. Oh, yes, that's right. That's right. Hey, I'll say it the way Charles Dixon said. Said the only shorts he owned was them that was under his pants. Amen. I'll say amen to that, thank God. Well, I know it. I'm busted your jug now. Amen. But thank God I'm not looking for fit in, to belong, to be accepted all the time. Thank God I want to be right with God.
Many people are on the brink of judgment dwelling in Sodom because they have sold everything in order to be accepted and promoted in life. Lot lingered because he longed for position. I'm closing with this. Lot lingered because he looked for protection. That sounds strange, doesn't it?
If you're right with God, you'll look for protection in the hand of the Lord.
But if you're rebellious against God, you'll look for protection in the lost, condemned world. They told Lot, said, get out of the city. Verses 19 and 20, get out! Yet he said, behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight. Thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me in saving my life. Well, it sounds like he's getting things right, don't it? Don't get your cart before the horses. Look what he says, though. I cannot escape to the mountain lest some evil take me and I die. God said, go to the mountain. He said, I can't do that. It won't never work. Isn't that where we are? If you live in rebellion against God, God says do something and you say, oh, I can't do that. It'll put me in danger. If I did that, it might not work out. What do you think? God don't know how to make things work out. I mean, you don't think God's got everything under control, that He can handle it? You don't think God can make it work out? Would you trust God for protection? Yet, he said, behold now, verse 20, this city is near to flee into. And this is a little one. Oh, like the size of the sin matters. It's not as big a city as Sodom, but it is still a city. Not as big as sins as what I've been involved in, but you know, I'll be doing better now. Preacher, I've had folks tell me, preacher, I'm doing better now. You got to admit that. I'm doing better. I'm going to tell you, doing better don't get folks to heaven. Getting right with God gets people to heaven. Amen. Well, let me escape thither. Notice he says it again. Is it not a little one? It ain't that big a deal. It's not, hey, all that stuff you've been preaching on, it ain't that big a deal, preacher. It's not going to send me to hell or anything. What are you interested in tonight? You interested in staying out of hell, or you interested in living for Jesus? Amen. If you're interested in living for Jesus, then you'll want to even get rid of the little cities in your life. Let me go there, and he says, my soul shall live. He's looking for protection somewhere besides the Lord. He wanted to go to a nearby city still. He didn't want to get along with God. He trusted in man to take care of him. But he doubted the Lord. He felt safe in the danger of the city of Sodom, but he felt endangered in the safety of the mountain of the Lord. When a man's not right with God, the place where he fears the most is right here in an old-fashioned church with the man of God preaching the truth unto him. He feels very comfortable under the shadow and shelter of the silver-tongued devils that tells him everything's okay. And all the while, the judgment of God hangs over his head. But when he gets in a place where he can find real refuge and real help and real strength and a real change for his life at the house of God with the man of God really preaching to him, then he feels endangered because he's not right with God. Amen. Then he lingered too long because of fear and doubt that God won't care for them. But if you're obedient unto Him, if Lot had just gone to the mountain, everything would have been well there. I'm asking you tonight, why are you lingering? I preached on why Lot lingered. Why are you lingering? Why does the Spirit of God arrest your soul, warn you to leave that sin behind? Press on your heart the imminence of the coming of the Lord, but you linger in your own wanton ways of rebellion and in sin. Why are you lingering? I wish I could lay hands on you and by mercy and by force get you to leave, but I can't. And if I did, you'd only leave and go to another city like Lot did. But it's time to leave Sodom and do as the angel said when you leave. Whatever you do, don't look back. Lot's wife looked back. She was turned to a pillar of salt, a constant testimony that those who by God's grace have escaped His judgment and look back will find themselves under the hand of the judgment of God again. Isn't that right? Oh, and even Jesus Himself said, remember Lot's wife.
Oh, tonight you're sitting there saying, oh, that city I have in my life is just a little one. That is you in my life is just a little one. That thing with my family is just a small thing. Yet it's still a city. Yet it's still a sin. Yet it's still the judgment of God. And if you'll be right with God tonight, you'll linger no longer. You'll come to God, cast it at the feet of the Savior, beg for mercy of Him. And He'll deliver you, your soul and your family, out of that city of Sodom before the fire falls and destroys you. Stand to your feet, please. You need to come tonight. I wish you'd come with a song, singing whatever they've got on their hearts. I wish you'd come with a song. Some need to come pray, do business with the Lord. Why would you linger for the first to be written, to be sung? Why would you wait for the songs to be sung? Why would you linger any longer? Come and give it to the Lord and get things right with God. Let's sing when you get ready.